The following is a recording for Bill Thorne with the National Retail Federation on Thursday, October 3rd, 2013, at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. Excuse me, everyone. We now have all of our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. I would now like to turn the conference over Mr. Thorne. Mr. Thorne, you may begin.
Thank you, Chelsea. This is Bill Thorne, Senior Vice President of Communications and Public Affairs for the National Retail Federation. I'm joined in the room by Matt Shea, our President and CEO, to discuss our holiday forecast. I believe you all have received a copy of the press release, and we wanted to dive into it a little bit more this morning. So with that, thank you for joining us. Matt, what can you tell us about the industry's expectations for holiday sales?
Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate your being here to talk to us about this and let us share a few thoughts with you. As you've seen from the information we've already put out, we're expecting holiday sale increase this year 3.9% to just a little over $600 billion, $602 billion, which is compared to actual growth last year of 3.5% for the 2012 holiday season. Overall, I think we would say what we're expecting is solid growth. I think this is a very decent number. We saw even more robust growth, in the last decade, in the early part of the last decade, the middle part of the last decade. But it's been a long time since we've even been close to 6%. So we think, given all the challenges that we're facing in the economy, this is a very realistic forecast. It's higher than the 10-year average. It's higher than a year ago. And we really base that on a number of factors, sort of taking the view over the course of the last 6 months to a year, looking at consumer spending, looking at employment, and taking all of those sort of macroeconomic factors into consideration to make an assessment about what we're going to see. It's a bit of a fine balancing act because we're trying to temper that with the uncertainty coming from Washington. And so in spite of the fundamentals that really ought to suggest a much healthier pace of growth, we're being held back for a number of reasons, and that's not primarily even related to what's going on this week in particular. It's been going on for some time. The things happening this week with the government shutdown just really are exacerbating that.
Well, speaking of the government shutdown, I mean, what does this mean for retailers, and what can we expect really from the consumers if this continues?
Well, we were out with a sort of a flash poll on Monday of this week, the first day of the shutdown, October 1st, and asking consumers on that day what they thought as of that moment of time. More than two-thirds of them said they would not change their spending decisions as a result of the government shutdown. Now, that's on day one of what we all hope is going to be a very abbreviated period of uncertainty related to the government's operations. And again, that's, trying to intuit from what customers and shoppers said on one day about how they felt on that day with what they're actually going to do. And sometimes those are two different things. So at the moment, we think, we can weather this if it gets resolved quickly. But obviously, we're very concerned that if this drags on for an extended period of time, it's going to affect consumer confidence, and it's got implications for the entire rest of the holiday shopping season.
The Civic Science poll that we did, the flash poll, do you think that in looking at it in the long run, that it is consistent with what we've seen in the past? We've done some polling in the past about how consumers feel about the economy, how that will affect their overall spending. Do you think that that might start trending that way in the immediate?
Yeah, it's sort of an interesting it's kind of like one's on the x-axis and one's on the y-axis. I mean, we've been asking consumers, for the past year, since the fiscal cliff, this time last year, when they're making a spending decision, what are the considerations they take into effect? And very consistently, 7 or 8 out of 10 regularly say the economy is the first thing they take into consideration. So that seems to indicate that, economic concerns are continue to be very high on the list. And then when you lay against that what we heard this week on October 1st, where two-thirds of them said it's not going to affect their spending, government shutdown doesn't affect their spending decisions, I think you got to take into consideration that, again, what they say they're going to do on one day doesn't always translate into the way they're going to behave. But if we can get it done fairly quickly, that is getting the government shutdown resolved. We still think, with two-thirds of Americans saying it's not going to affect them, that consumers will come out and shop and spend if we just don't get in the way of what they want to do by, kind of one more self-inflicted wound.
We've heard a lot last week or so about seasonal hires from companies like Walmart, Amazon, Target, and a number of others. What is NRF's forecast, and what kind of trends do you expect to see this holiday season related to jobs?
Well, our expectation is that retailers are going to hire seasonal workers during the holiday season, at least in the same numbers they did last year, at least 720,000, maybe as high as 780,000, which we think makes sense given what we're projecting about the growth in the holiday sales process. So we're going from 3.5 to 3.9. At 3.5 last year, it was 720,000 people. At 3.9, we think that incremental growth in hiring is very consistent. It's interesting that many of these jobs are coming in new places. They're getting shifted around as retailers change their tactics to reach and serve customers. So increasingly, some of these positions are going into distribution centers and fulfillment, even in stores. Some stores are being used now as distribution centers and inventory fulfillment kinds of locations. And we're also always encouraged at the possibility that some of these positions turn into full-time jobs for people, because it's a great way to get into the career path of employment, whether that's for retail or whether it's a temporary thing, but a number of these will turn into full-time positions.
Now, in the forecast, our digital division, NRS digital division, shop.org, is forecasting holiday sales to increase between 13 to 15%. What can you tell us about the upcoming digital holidays?
So last year's forecast was, last year's actual was about 12% growth. And so we're predicting something slightly higher than that again, 13 to 15% for online. That's all a component part measured as part of the overall number that we put out, the 3.9. But this piece in particular is obviously growing much more quickly, really being driven by consumers and the way in which they want to shop today and be engaged with retailers, and by retailers who are getting increasingly creative about deploying social media and mobile tactics and a variety of other technological means to stay connected and really deliver that seamless experience, so that from one platform and one channel to another, in-store, online, mobile, that the experience is always the same for the customer, and to deliver even more value and greater levels of service. So we think that's going to continue to grow and expand. Consumers love it. That's the way consumers live their lives today. And, that is due in large part to the consumer demands, but it's due in equal parts, as we saw this week at our, annual digital summit in Chicago. It's due in equal parts to retailers innovating as well. There's a lot of innovation going on here, and I expect that as we get closer to the season, we're going to see more of that, and people are going to be announcing things. We're going to be seeing the ways in which this is all coming together.
Last question, Matt, and how do you think retailers are preparing for the season in terms of inventories, promotions, things like that?
Well, I'd say with regard to start with inventory and say that the retailers are incredibly sophisticated with inventory management systems today. They're looking at this on a sector-by-sector, segment-by-segment basis, so they know from product line to product line what they need and when they need it. They're doing it every single day, every day of the year. So I think inventories are being managed very efficiently and very effectively. This will continue to be a very promotional year. It's been promotional up till this point. The CEOs and with whom I've had conversations in the last few days have all indicated that almost without regard to the price point or the customer market, that at all segments are really going to be, in one way or another, going to be promotional, trying to drive value, trying to get consumers engaged even earlier than they have in the past. So this is obviously a critical part of the year for retailers, and 20-40% of the year of the year's profit and operations can come out of this part of the year. So it's incredibly important that they get all this right. I think because of the inventory management and the planned promotions that you're going to see retailers protecting their margins. I don't think the promotions are going to come at the expense of margin. This is all thoughtful, and it's baked into the plans they've already made for the season. We do have a shorter selling season this year than we did last year between the two holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas. This forecast really measures November 1 to December 31, so we look at the entire 2 months, in part because the official holiday season changes from year to year for Thanksgiving and Christmas, in part because, the way consumers and retailers interact with one another today, the season begins earlier every year. And so it's important to include those early gains and count that as part of holiday. So we'll see things starting earlier. We've already seen news around layaways and people doing away with layaway fees. We've seen news about free shipping in places where we haven't seen it before. So I think it's going to be highly promotional. You're going to see lots of technology applied here to staying engaged. You're going to see people opening maybe earlier, starting sales earlier. It's going to be competitive, but inventory is going to be managed well, and margins are going to be protected.
Our polling consistently shows that about 40% of Americans start their holiday shopping before Halloween, and I think the retailers get a lot of grief for coming out with product early, but they're coming out with product early because the consumer is demanding it, and especially this year where you have a shorter holiday season, it's even that much more important. But that being said, Jack Kleinhans is on the line with us. Jack is our chief economist for the National Retail Federation. And Jack, what can you provide us in regards to some insights about the economy and consumer expectations?
Well, good morning, everyone, and I'm pleased to be here with you all. Let me just give maybe some background or perhaps some of the assumptions that underlie some of the comments that Matt just mentioned. Certainly, since the spring, the economy has continued to expand, even though it's been at an unspectacular pace. But we've seen some labor market indicators returning to normal, still not a lot of oomph, but some employment growth, which comes along with, which then comes income and spending. I think that is the economic activity still anything but normal, and the consumer, however, is a little bit better than he was or she was a year ago. I think it's evident when you look at what their spending has been this past year, certainly spending on non-durable goods that would be either autos or housing-related, furniture, et cetera. And so consequently, I think that the consumer actually has shaped his or her spending in a positive way that provides us some momentum going into the final quarter of the year. Certainly, one other factor that should help to some extent is that consumers will find some easier price pressures because we've certainly seen inflation being very benign. In terms of consumer credit, use of credit, obviously with auto and other large purchases, people have used credit. But we're not seeing that so much in the use of credit cards or, as we say, revolving credit. So I don't expect that credit cards will be used extensively or their balances will shoot up and stay up. If they do use it, it might be for short-term spending. Actually, it could be more of a use of savings to make any shortfalls between current income and spending. So looking out over the next few months, I think the landscape is not going to change much. I think spending continues to hinge on job gains. I think that in some ways we also have to recognize things that are out of our control but are important to the economy during the holiday season. That certainly is weather. You know, last year we got hit by Hurricane Sandy late in October and probably impacted spending to some degree in November. So certain kinds of apparel, et cetera, are in greater demand perhaps when we start to see the chillier nights and perhaps some precipitation that we have to prepare for. The other comment I would make in closing is that it's a national forecast, and I think it represents the national economy, though. We must also recognize that there are regional differences that occur. Certainly we've seen that in the real estate recovery and or lack of recovery. So to that extent, there could be, you know, less strength in certain parts of the country than in others, but we don't have specific forecasts, but I think it needs to be recognized that the pace of the recovery, you know, has been a bit slower than we would like, and in some areas, that could also be an issue as we go into the next couple of months.
Thank you, Jack. Chelsea, why don't we go ahead and give instructions as it relates to questions and how we're going to proceed?
Okay, yes, sir. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Please limit your questions to one at a time. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1.
All right. While that's being queued up, Matt, you just returned from Chicago the other day where we had our digital division summit. Steve mentioned that earlier. But a lot of our top leadership at NRF from some of the leading stores, retailers, were there. You had an opportunity to talk to several of those. What was your takeaway in terms of what they're thinking about right now?
You know, we had the opportunity that our board chairman, Steve Setup of Saks, hosted a dinner with about a dozen CEOs, and we spent several hours together one evening talking about the issues of the day, including what was happening at the digital summit, as well as the things happening and not happening in Washington and how that's going to play out in the minds of consumers. And I think, you know, as we said a moment ago, to a person, they all believe that, you know, while the snapshot one-day poll of consumer psyche may say, hey, listen, the government shutdown's not going to affect my decisions about spending, that in spite of the strong fundamentals in this economy, you know, consumer confidence has been sufficiently shaken over the, you know, last several years and is sufficiently choppy that any extended period of interruption in, you know, in either the operations of the government or, worse yet, anything related to the debt ceiling has got the potential to have very serious negative consequences for the rest of the holiday season. So, I mean, I think there was a general recognition that there's opportunity here, but that the opportunity for a solid holiday season can still be put in jeopardy by the failure of our leaders here in Washington to come together and fashion a solution to the challenges that unfortunately keep driving these negative headlines. And over an extended period of time, the negative headline day in, day out, turn on the TV, pick up the newspaper, look at your handheld, and all you see is the gloom and doom of Washington. That's not an environment that's necessarily conducive to a robust holiday retail season.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and open it up for questions. If you ask the question, make sure you identify whether you would like Matt or Jack to answer or if you'd like to hear from both. So with that, Chelsea, I'll hand it over to you.
Okay. Our first question comes from Abba Batari with the Washington Post. I'm sorry, Mr. Batari has disconnected. Let's go to the next question. Okay, our next question is from Kevin Smith with the Los Angeles News Group.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Is this Matthew?
No, this is Matt. Hi, Kevin.
Oh, hi, Matt. Yeah, I wanted to direct my question to you. And you kind of alluded to this, but, you know, you had said that retailers, you think that their margins aren't going to be compromised too much, but it seems like the past few years, one of the things I seem to remember is that, you know, once we get past that season, they always look back and they say, well, you know, part of the problem is retailers, they just cut their margins to virtually nothing. And I know you said that you think they're going to preserve their margins, but is there any chance that, you know, when push comes to shove, that they're just going to cut prices so low, trying to, you know, get their foot traffic in there?
Well, we don't have certainly have any indications of that at this point. You know, the conversations that we've had with retailers have been very straightforward about their recognition that it takes promotion to drive customer traffic, and that's a very successful tactic. That's what customers look for and expect. So they've planned that into their holiday selling season. You know, I think the focus and the emphasis really is on, for all retailers, is on how they deliver value, in quotation marks, however that value is defined, and in different segments of the marketplace. And so, it's inescapable that price is an element of value in many markets. And that's completely understandable given the challenges we face in the economy and the sort of anemic job growth and the incremental GDP growth. So that's understandable. But in other categories, value might be measured in terms of selection or in terms of service or in terms of exclusivity. We've got reason to believe at this point everything that we've heard from folks, that they've been thoughtful about this, they manage their inventories well, they're going to take care of their margins. And remember, last year was not just the fiscal cliff that really, you know, sucked the wind out of the last couple of weeks, or certainly the last, 5, 8, 10 days of the holiday season, but we had Superstorm Sandy that hit at the beginning of the year, beginning of the holiday selling season. And neither of those things, you know, both of them were natural disasters in the sense that one was a truly natural disaster and the other one was a disaster created by natural persons. But, it was a man-made disaster that could have totally been avoided. And, you know, we can't predict a natural disaster in the next 60 days or 90 days, but we could sure get out of our own way on man-made disasters and avoid doing anything really silly with regard to the debt ceiling or the funding of the government.
Thanks, Kevin. Chelsea?
Okay. Our next question comes from Eric Grimm with Retailers and Resources.
Hi, Eric. Jack or Matt, but I was wondering if any of the forecasts have looked at specific product category performance or category types and what you see might be happening there. You mentioned durable goods, but are there other estimations or projections for specific categories?
Hey, Jack, if you want to take a stab at that one.
Sure. In fact, let's talk about electronics a little bit. Certainly a big holiday gift for many people. My understanding is that iPhones and tablets and the tablet launches are going to be very important at this time. And a lot of shoppers are waiting for Black Friday for electronic purchases. Cameras have leveled out, but there's some new digital cameras that are supposed to have interchangeable lenses, which should be very attractive from what I understand. When it comes to appliances, actually appliances have been very competitive this past few months, housing related, of course, and that's one factor that should continue to move forward. And then there's sort of, believe it or not, I wouldn't give my wife a washing machine for the holidays, but Some appliances are leading people to the stores, and you might say, well, geez, what about that? Well, the fact of the matter is we're at the useful life of appliance at 10 to 12 years, and there was a big growth in appliances in the 2003-2005 time frame. So we might see some replacement demand heading into the holidays. Jewelry is always a good indicator of how things are going, and they, from what I hear, is if you take the high end versus the low end, you get somewhere in the middle, and so I'm expecting that those would be reasonable and positive, but I don't have any major discernible trend specific. When it comes to apparel, spending has been good, and I think it's expected. One of the positive things about apparel in the last couple of years, if you remember, a couple of years ago, we had high cotton prices that impacted prices and or substitute goods. Price of cotton has come back down. Retailers have probably recovered some of the pressure on prices. But still, again, I think well within people's budget for this holiday. And so I think the stocking stuffer should be, in a good way this year. Nothing out there in particular that stands out other than what I've mentioned.
Thank you.
All right. Chelsea?
Okay. Our next question comes from Abba Batari with the Washington Post.
Hi, Abba.
Hi there. This is for either of you, but I'm wondering if you foresee a situation where you might sort of revise your estimate depending on how long the government shutdown lingers. And if so, at what point would you make that decision?
Jack, do you want to take that?
Well, like the Federal Reserve, we're going to use the phrase data dependent.
Uh-huh.
And I think that, again, one thing I'm, at least from my belief, is that if it's a shorter period of time and the furloughed people get paid back what they would have been owed, then it really will just be a bit of a shifting of dollars during a period of time. It could have some negative impact, but not much if it's a short period of time. So people might not have the cash to spend now, but once they come back to work and get paid, then that should really be an offset. That's how we've seen it in the past. But when it gets into maybe several weeks in a month, then there's obviously some impact, or should be expected some impact. I don't really have a number at this point in time. I mean, the estimate that I've seen yesterday was, you can quote me on it, but it's not my number, but I think it was like $200 million a day lost in the economy. So to what extent that's going to be a part of holiday sales at this time, it's just premature. We're just all hoping for a very short period of time and get things back to normal.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Abba. So, Chelsea?
Okay. Our last question will come from Chantal Toad with the Mobile Marketer.
Morning, Chantal.
This is Chantal with Mobile Marketer. This question is for Matt. Hi. Can you tell me what role do you expect, customers shopping on their mobile devices will play in sort of enabling retail sales and also the promotional activity for retailers this year, and then how has this sort of evolved from last year?
Chantal, we think it's going to be incredibly significant. I haven't seen the numbers yet this year in terms of estimates about what percentage of activity is taking place on mobile versus the rest of online generally. But earlier this week we did hear a presentation from one of the retailers that delivered a general session who indicated that of their 60% of their business is online, and 40 to 50% of that online is mobile. So you can see it's a significant component of overall online. I think last year's numbers from Google were that during the holiday season, half of everything that was on Google related to the holiday season was mobile. If I have that number right, that was a number they shared publicly last holiday season. So it's clear from the buzz around the summit this week in Chicago, where we had more than 5,000 people together to talk about digital retail and strategies for serving customers and delivering value, that this is an area in which retailers continue to make significant investments. They continue to build out their capabilities here, and so we're going to see even more of it as we get into this holiday season. It is showing no signs of abating, and in fact, just continues to increase.
Thank you.
Chelsea, I understand we have one more question.
Yes, sir. Our last question comes from Andrea Chang.
Hey, Matt.
Hi, Andrea.
Yes, sir, one moment. Okay, Andrea, your line is open. You may ask your question.
Okay, hey, Matt.
Hi, Andrea.
Hey, so obviously one of the big questions about this holiday season is the shorter time frame, and you said that you were hearing from retailers as to they may start sales earlier. Could you, do you have any more specifics as to anything interesting that you've heard, like retailers like might do that, you thought that are kind of like the different strategies that you've heard?
Well, there's obviously a general recognition that that the holiday season is going to be challenged by some compression this year just due to the shorter number of days between the two big holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas. I think that's just causing retailers to sort of pull a number of their activities forward, recognizing that there's always a big push around Black Friday and Cyber Monday that you can't really move that. So they're finding other ways to get out earlier, and I think a big piece of that we've seen was in the publicity related to the layaway programs. I mentioned the free shipping that was announced. You'll see some new devices, I think, that are going to get released that people will be talking about to create some early buzz. So I think there's going to be a wide variety of tactics. And I did hear, interestingly, I heard a couple of retailers who sort of took a slightly contrarian view and said that last year the holiday season was so long that they didn't have a lot of enthusiasm in the middle part of the season, and they saw things sort of slow down a little bit. So not have customers challenged about the level of communication and attention surrounding the season, because there's not really that lengthy period in between to let them get delayed. So we'll see, and I think we'll see more of it as we get near the holidays.
Okay, and then just also one quick question. So in your by your count, was there any other holiday in the past where there was an actual government shutdown?
I haven't seen that in modern history. The closest we've had was the debate surrounding the fiscal cliff last year, and that was smack in the middle. Jack may have a better recollection.
The last time it was 16, 17 years ago. So it's really ancient history if you want to think about it from that perspective.
Okay, but was there an actual impact at that time, or?
Yeah, I just don't know, but if I looked at holiday sales, was it 1997, guys? Is that right?
I think it was 1997,
yeah. So I think, holiday sales were 3.7%, but I can attribute that the year-over-year change relative to the previous year was due to the shutdown. It was a slower growth year in 97. So we would have to do some correlation analysis and see if we could attribute that, but I couldn't give you that answer. I'm sorry.
Okay. And Matt, do you think the industry will ever see the 6% growth again? I mean, when is that going to happen?
Listen, I'd like to see it happen immediately and happen this year. Jack observed that we were data-driven. So, listen, when there's a big deal someday, and there will be, that would be great for the whole economy. The issue is economic growth, I think, yeah. And Jack can elaborate on that. Until we grow more robustly, we won't get there.
One of the part of the piece is when we had 6% growth, although, is that we also had some notable inflation going on. Prices were up 2 or 3%. So remember, we're doing nominal numbers here, and I think one of the reasons for our number looking a little bit lower, if you will, relative to maybe the last several years is because we've had prices behaving in a very positive way. So it translates into a little bit lower number compared to the 6 or 8%, 9%. That I think we almost had 9% in 1999. But so, but Matt's correct, though. Underpinning of that is a need for a stronger economy, and that comes from more employment and confidence by consumers in that they will have the opportunity for job security and wage growth.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Well, I believe that's it for today, and for all of your holiday questions, you can contact our media shop at press@nrf.com or call Kathy Branis or Bethany Earnhall at 855-NRF-PRESS. And as well, please check out our holiday headquarters at www.nrf.com/holidays. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it very much and look forward to working with you in the days ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This ends today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.